Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the CC Radio Podcast.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by the Paranormal Portal. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or watch their daily show on YouTube.
We exist in the security and comfort of our worlds. Paved paths, lights, and manicured lawns give us peace of mind. That our world has been tamed, and we are its master. But other worlds exist on the edge of our sight. On the edge of our awareness, the shadows move and come alive. The wilds fill with the unblinking eyes of the nightmares our ancestors warned us about. Many have stumbled into these forgotten realms, some on purpose, but most completely by surprise. I'm Brent Thomas. Join us on the Paranormal Portal podcast, released 3 times weekly, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and join our journey into the amazing realm of paranormal phenomena, discussing ghosts, UFOs, Sasquatch, and cryptids, and so much more. Enter the Paranormal Portal, if you dare.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe, Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that will help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Amanda, and Amanda had an encounter with something in the bush in far north Queensland all the way back in 1990. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I am absolutely enthralled by your story because this is in my area. Anything that happens in far north Queensland, it really tickles me pink because it's starting to look like a little bit of a hotspot, and your story is absolutely chilling. Do you mind going back to the start of it and just running us through it?
Yeah, sure. So this was around 1990, and my husband and I were pretty, even at that stage, we were pretty seasoned campers. So we'd go out in the middle of nowhere and just camp. So we knew every animal noise there was. If there was something freaky, we could usually pinpoint what it was without any problems. But yeah, this night we we went out to, it's about 40 k's south of Innisfail, or west of Innisfail, around that way. And it's at the Jordan Goldfield. So it's off the Palmerston Highway. So it's a really tricky place to get to. So we'd go there and go hunting gems, garnets actually. And we'd stay up on this mountain and walk down to the Jordan River and collect garnets. And it was an absolutely breathtakingly beautiful place. And it was right in the middle of the rainforest. And really, really thick rainforest. So it was hard going down the track and coming back up again. But I took my sister there. She would have been only about 16, so we decided we were going to go camping there this night. So we set up the campsite, but the bush was really, really thick, so we had to drive the car in forward, and it used to rain a lot there as well. So we tied all these tarps to the car and to the trees. So we were all sort of like had our area all set up really nicely. But the car was facing in, and then we had all our camping equipment behind the car, so it was kind of blocked in. And my husband said, "I'm going to go down to have a look for some garnets." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I think we'll just stay here because that walk was a pretty big walk to do a couple of times a day." And my sister sort of we decided that we were going to put some music on, and because there's no one around for miles, just nothing. It's just bush. If you have a look on Google and you look at the Jordan River that goes off the Johnstone River, you'll see that it's just surrounded by thick, thick rainforest. We decided to stay back at the campsite and have a bit of a fire there and put some music on, and we were kind of singing really loudly and having a really good time. But unbeknownst to us, at the time, there is actually a borer ground about 800 metres away from where we were camping, and it's the chicken borer ground. Just really spiritual place too. This place is in Palmerston. But we sort of got in the car as it was getting a little. It was getting on dusk, so we jumped in the car and we're sort of listening to music in the car after that, and then we hear a knock at the window, and it was my husband, and his face was white, and he said, get out of the car, and I'm like, well, what's going on, you know, what's happening? So we get out of the car, and we're standing there, and he said, listen, and then we heard this scream, and I kid you not, it was the most blood-curdling thing that I'd ever heard in my life. It sounded like someone was being chased with an axe, and they were dying. They were screaming for their life. And this was the time in 1990 where you didn't have mobile phones, so you just couldn't ring up and say help. We were in the middle of nowhere, and it was a guttural scream too. It was really, really. It's so hard to explain. Just really hard to explain this scream because it was something that I'd never heard before, and you could hear this running through the bush. So we kind of all stood outside the car, and our stomachs had dropped because we'd never heard anything like it before, and we were wide-eyed, and we stood there for about, I reckon it was a good 10 minutes, and we kind of were contemplating on what we were going to do because is this going to be harmful for us, or do we need to go and help somebody? Or but it just kept thrashing through the bush, and after the 15 minutes, I think we just made this instant decision all together to jump in the back of the car, like just go for it. We all just ran into the back of the car. So if you could imagine these three people trying to bash their way into this car all together. It was a Hilux, an old yellow Hilux it was too, so it was only a two-seater at the front, so we had a mattress in the back, and we just all dove in, and we all scrambled up the back of the car, and we just sat there, and we were like, well, what are we going to do now? Because this thing was running around us, around the bush. And we couldn't drive the car out because we put all the camping gear behind us, and our nose was poked into the bush. And so we decided that we were just going to sit there and wait it out. But we sat there and it didn't go away. We were there for literally hours trying to get brave enough to get out of the car. And it just kept going and going and going and going. And
it was screaming and running around the whole time, was it? Wow.
Yeah, it had breaks. Every couple, like you'd feel safe, like it'd be a bit of a scream and then it'd stop, and you'd be kind of waiting for the next one, because if you moved or if you looked like you were going to get out of the car, or it'd start again. So it kind of, really scared us. Really, really scared us. We thought, this is it. We're going to die in the back of this pile up. it's going to come and get us. So we were pretty terrified. Hours we stayed there.
Were you far off it getting dark?
It was pitch black by the time.
Oh, wow.
You know, that we, yeah, it was dark. So it was on dusk when he come back from the river, and we stood there for the 15 minutes and then it was dark, and then, yeah, we decided to jump in the back of the car and not move. And we were trying to goad each other, go out and untie the tarp so we can leave, or, you know, the truck. Nobody would get out, nobody. We were all too scared.
So what happened then? I mean, did you build up the courage to kind of load up the ute and with all your camping gear, or do you just reverse all over it?
Well, yeah, we sort of argued. We were all arguing about it. We were saying, come on, so my husband, get out of the car, you're the man. He's like, I ain't getting out. I'm not getting out there. We're like, no, but you're the man, you have to get out. And he's like, oh, no, I'm getting out of there. There's no way I'm getting out. So it would have been, I reckon, hours. 2 or 3 hours, and I said, right, that's it, I'm getting out, I have to get out. If it grabs me, it grabs me, but I can't spend the rest of my night feeling like this. It's just too terrifying. And I've jumped out of the car and ran to the trees, and you could hear it still, you could hear it moving. And I'm trying to untie it as fast as I can. And, everyone gets out. And we started just throwing stuff in the back of the car. All willy-nilly, just throwing everything in the back of the car as fast as we could. And untying all the tarps and putting all of them in. But it wasn't like we were doing it. It was like we jump out, do one thing, and then jump back in again. So it took us a really long time to pack up. So... yeah, once we did pack up, we all got in the car and we drove out. That was such a relief to leave. But we drove out really slowly, and just this strangest music come on the radio. Like, it was so weird. It was, I guess it was just one of those coincidences, like, I guess. But it was just really creepy music as we were driving out. So we got away. Nothing happened. But I think, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a yowie, a jundidy. I don't know if it was something, you know, I guess where we weren't supposed to be. It was warning us off, I feel, anyway. The local legend there, I found out later, people wouldn't go there because of the hairy man. So, I'm not sure. There is local legend about a hairy man up that way.
Yeah, wow. There's so much to break down in this encounter, Amanda. Firstly, it's terrifying, and it's amazing that you got out of this unscathed. I mean, maybe apart from, you know, quite a terrifying story, to get out of this the way you did is obviously the best outcome.
Most definitely. Like, I wasn't going to stay. There was no way that I would have spent the night there. There's just no way. I mean, we'd gone there during the day and it was all fine other times, but, yeah, this one night, it was just crazy. It was just absolutely crazy. Now, I've researched and researched and researched this scream that I heard. I've gone through so many sounds and I can't find it. I've gone through all, you know, all the recordings of Yarra sounds that they've had in Australia. I've gone through that and I can't find the exact scream. The only one that I came close enough to was a Sasquatch over in America that terrorized these people in a caravan or in a camper van that they were in. And they recorded the scream and they sounded a bit like that, like pretty much on par with that. That was the closest one I could get to.
It's amazing. It's truly amazing, Amanda. I'm almost a little bit speechless about everything here, and I'm just trying to figure out what's the best way to go about this with you. But let's touch on something that a lot of people probably won't know is the Borah ground. So basically a Borah ground, and this is the to the best of my knowledge, it's basically a sacred area where Aboriginal people would hold ceremonies or things like that. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it was, I guess you could say, where a man would be recognised in his tribe, I guess you would say that. So that would be a sacred meeting place for all the tribes around that area. I'm pretty sure that was the grounds there belong to the Cassowary tribes or parts of some of the Cassowary tribes around that area. So, yeah, it's very sacred land, and we have, you know, really great respect for sacred land. But unbeknownst to that, at the time, we didn't know that Borah ground was there. We had no idea. I wish I had have known now, but yeah.
And was that where you kind of set up your camp? Was basically on the Borah ground?
No, not on the Borah ground. We were 800 metres away from it.
Right, okay. But that's still pretty close because...
It's too close for comfort.
It wouldn't surprise me if this was a highly spiritual area.
Yeah, most definitely is. Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, it's called the Chook and Borah ground. And, yeah, it's very sacred ground. No way that I would camp anywhere near one. Not being, you know, because it's also, you know, sacred men's ground as well.
And in Aboriginal culture, it's kind of told that, you know, the Aboriginals kind of used to live hand in hand with the Yowie. You know, depending on what kind of story you do believe with that. But do you think perhaps this Yowie or this creature was aware that you're so close to a Borah ground?
Yes, without a doubt in my mind. Whatever it was, we weren't supposed to be there. And it was my sister and I that were singing and being really loud. And we disturbed whatever was there, I think. We disturbed whatever was there. And we weren't supposed to be there.
And do you think because you were women?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In this basically a men's sacred area, do you think that kind of added fuel to this fire?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. It's happened to one of my friends before when she's accidentally gone onto men's sacred ground while she was gold detecting. And she didn't know at the time, but she heard this like voice saying, get out, don't belong here, sort of in her head. And she got really, really sick and went back to the car. And she said to her husband, we've got to leave, I'm not well. And as they were driving out, a stick actually got thrown into the car. And that stick come from nowhere, no bush, no nothing. So I believe in that. I believe that you shouldn't go anywhere you're not supposed to go at all.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah.
So what was going through your head when this was all happening? I mean, were you thinking, could this be a Yowie? Or was your mind so far away from that it, maybe that didn't even occur to you?
I think at first we thought it was somebody being chased and hunted down because it sounded like it was being hunted. But then I think further on, a couple of hours in, I think that we were the ones that were being hunted or chased out because of the sound. Like it was the real sound that, yeah, you just don't want to be around that sound. You don't want to be anywhere near it when it happens. No, you've got to run. It sounds like a sound that you would run from. So it was a warning, I think.
And did you feel in danger?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. That's why I thought we've got to get out of here because obviously we're not welcome. If we don't get out, there was no way I was going to spend the night there. I don't know what would have happened. I really don't. And I'm glad I never found out. I'm so glad that we left. I just got the braves up and I'm going. That's it.
Do you ever wonder what it actually was? Do you ever have that morbid curiosity of, I wish I just stuck around, I wish I got a glimpse of what this was? Or are you much better off knowing?
I'm kind of glad I didn't see what it was, because if something had come out of that bush and if it was really big, I think I would have just, I don't know what I would have done. I think I would have died on the spot. I mean, that's how scared I was. If something really big sort of come out of the bush, I would have turned to jelly. I was already jelly, but I would have probably just melted into the ground. It was that scary. I think, yeah, no. But on saying that, I really want to go back there now. Not overnight, but just to have a look around again. It's been a long time. Maybe not close to the Bora ground, of course, but just around that area. Stay away from there. But I'm just close to that area and have a look again, you know, just to go out and have a bit of a search around, because it's things like that, you know, have, you know, got memories of it, and you think you kind of want to go back and have another look, but you've got a mobile phone now, so you're cool. You're right. No one ever gets anything on a mobile phone anyway.
It's you know, kind of like the anti-Yowie detector, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. Yep. Yeah. And at least I could call Triple O now, you know, that if something like that happened, I couldn't back then.
Fair enough. And that would be quite an interesting phone call too to the authorities, I can imagine. So when you were, when you're in the area there, you said that you were talking to, I think you said locals or maybe indigenous people around the area, and they said that the hairy man is a common thing around that kind of park.
Yeah. So that's what I've heard, that the people up there, the locals don't go there because there's hairy men there. And I was like, oh, thanks for telling me now. You know, like, we should have researched these back then. No internet either. So pretty sad we didn't really do our studies real good on that area. But we would go into places like this and go garnet hunting and precious gems and gold hunting, and we go to places that were, you know, way off the chart and way away from other people. And we always felt really safe until that happened.
So after this encounter, did you stop going out into the bush for a while?
Only for a little while. We didn't, only for a little while, but I think we kind of went to a bit more populated places after that for a while. But we have been out. We did go back out again to some pretty interesting places after that.
Well, you were telling me before we went on the air that you actually had another terrifying encounter. Do you mind telling me about that one too?
Yeah, that was interesting. That was a very, very strange encounter, that one. My husband and I were driving up far north. We went right up far north to Hope Vale and Laura. And we went to see on the way to, we were going to stay at Old Laura Station. We were going to have a look at Old Laura Station. But on the way there, we went to the rocks, the Googalungi rocks, and climbed up and did the rock painting experience. And that was absolutely fantastic. And we ended up driving to the Old Laura Station and getting out and saying, oh, this, you know, we'll camp here for the night because there's nobody around. It's in the middle of nowhere. And this was a long time ago as well. So no phone, no nothing, you know, nothing like that. Now you don't feel, I feel a bit safer now with a phone. I don't know why. But when we were there, we were camped on the riverbed, and it was, oh my gosh, it was absolutely beautiful. The bats were just thick and following up the riverbed, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful experience. But there was a lot of pigs there, and wild pigs were everywhere. And my dogs, we had our dogs in, and they were tough little red heelers. You know, nothing bothered them. They'd chase anything. They were crazy. And, you know, every time they smell a pig, they'd go running after it, silly things. But they weren't scared of animals. So, you know, this is what I can't understand. They weren't scared of anything. We went to bed that night. We were actually in the same truck that we had the other experience in. We were in the back of that, and the dogs were on the ground underneath the truck, and then our dog just started whining, and just with their hackles up, and then they started barking, ferociously barking, and foaming at the mouth. And we woke up, and I'm like, well, it was dead silent apart from our dogs. There was nothing. We couldn't hear nothing at all. No crickets, nothing. It was just our dogs were just going right off, just into nothing, into nowhere.
And have you ever seen them act like that before?
No, never. No, they were brave dogs. We don't know why they were going off, and it kind of sort of rocked us a little bit. We got up and I'm like, what the heck is going on? We just had a really weird feeling that something was watching us. And my husband got out of the truck, and I said, don't leave me here. don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave me here. But he got out and had a bit of a look, and he's like, there's nothing out there. And I said, well, why are the dogs just going crazy? We got back in the car, and we lay down again, and the dogs were just, they were just all night, they were like that, and they had us on edge all night, but we couldn't see anything. We couldn't, but you could feel it. Whatever it was out there, you could feel this thing. We can't explain that. We left the next morning, and we still were really creeped out about it. It was so strange. And we got about 2 km out of the old Laura homestead, and our truck broke down. The steering damper broke off, and we had no trouble with that truck until that was just really crazy. So it was like a bad stuff sort of, you know, was given to us because we weren't supposed to be there. And that's what I feel about that. We weren't supposed to be there. So we lived in Bowen at the time. We drove back to Bowen, and I told one of my Indigenous friends that we went camping at old Laura, and this had happened. And she just stopped dead in her tracks, and she turned around and she said, "Never." I'm like, what? What have I done? She goes, don't go there. And I said, why? And she goes, the Kodachi man there, you silly girl. I'm like, oh, that might explain things then, you know, why our dogs were really crazy. And you know, and I'm like, well, I didn't really know if they still sort of roamed around or not. But, yeah, she kind of was really freaked out that we'd actually gone there.
So what did you say was there?
Gudai-Chi man.
Are you able to tell me a little bit more about that?
A Gudai-Chi man, medicine man, an Aboriginal medicine man.
Right.
He's the bone pointer. He points the bone. So, not good.
So there's some bad energy there.
Yeah. Like, I guess, you know, maybe we weren't supposed to be there. We weren't. Yeah, so you've got to be really careful, especially when you go to areas like that, especially with sacred ground or, you know, places that nobody are. There's a lot, so many places up there that you can't enter as well, up front or further. Well, you'd know, like further up from you, towards Putwell past Cooktown, there's a lot of reserves that you can't enter. And you shouldn't enter. You have to get, well, I know that when we went to Googalunji, we had to get special permission to actually go up and see the rocks. So there's a lot of places like that. I really think that a lot of people don't realise how spiritual the land is or how sacred the land is and what is really on there.
Well, there's thousands of years of history here. So it doesn't surprise, exactly. So it really doesn't surprise me that there's a lot of spiritual energy in these sacred places because, like you said, the Aboriginal culture is one of, if not the oldest culture on Earth. It dates back to, like you said, 40,000 years plus.
Exactly. And maybe longer. And, yeah, possibly way longer. So, yeah, that's my couple of stories that have really taught me to have a lot of respect for where you're going and how you treat things and to be really aware of your surroundings, I guess, yeah.
Which is a lot easier in the modern day and age with the internet.
It is with a mobile phone. That's right, yeah.
So, Amanda, I have to ask, what do you think a Yowie is?
What do I think a Yowie is? A huge, hairy man. a huge hairy man. So there are a couple of them identified. So the Yowie's the big monster one that, you know, has his own. It's so hard because our country is so big and there's so many hiding places and there's got to be something else out there. It has to be. You know, and with the legends and everything, that it just can't be legends. It has to be true. There's just too many experiences that people have had with this Yowie.
Oh, absolutely. I do not disagree with you at all. I think Australia is, well, it's one of the biggest continents on the world. So much of it is unexplored by, you know, modern day man. And there is so many places for things to hide.
So many places. And then you have the little men, the chimpanzee. So that they're, where we lived in Bowen, we had, I know that my brother-in-law was attacked by chimpanzee, the little men, the little hairy men. Not attacked, but they kind of play tricks on you. So they were out working on a pipeline somewhere close to Bowen. I'm not sure where, but he tells a story that his feet were pulled out of bed, like his feet were tugged, and they had little men running around the camp, and they were out in the middle of nowhere too. So, you know, there's all these different types. I mean, yeah, it's really interesting.
Oh, it really is, and they're known to be pretty much a really, really cheeky little thing, which I think is great.
Yeah, but I still wouldn't like one to touch my feet.
No, not at all. I mean, if I had the choice between the two of them, I know which one I'm going to take. But at the end of the day, I still wouldn't want either of them.
No, well, actually, the Jundidi, they're pretty strong too. Like, you wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of one of them. One of my friends, he was saying to me, we call him the Yowie, the big Yowie. His name's Andrew, and he said, well, I was telling you about my experience up in Innisfail, and he said to me, you should have just gone out and left some food on there, sorry, because he's Aboriginal. And I'm like, mate, that thing would have starved because I wasn't getting out of the back of that truck for nothing. Like, even if I had to fling food out, because he said, no, it's a jindity. If you go out and you give them a bit of food, put a little bit of food on a tree stump, they'll leave you alone. I said, I don't think this was a little jindity.
No.
I think this is a big thing, yeah. This one.
Yeah, it sounded like the one you had wasn't really wasn't playing around, and
no, he wanted us out of there
for sure, absolutely. And I think it's great that you stayed in the back of the ute there, and stayed safe with it. But Amanda, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your encounters. Those are absolutely fascinating and terrifying at the same time.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe. And you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.